Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
love the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show.
Babylon's.
Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Welcome back, second half of the Tom Abraham Show. You know, somebody texted me at the text window last week sometime and said, that whistle is really weak, man. It starts the second half of the show, and I didn't even know what they were talking about. So I finally listened to that thing a little bit closer. That whistle is really weak. We need a better whistle than that, T-Mac. I mean, you're going to have to go find a whistle, will you? I mean, you might have to make your own sound effect. You're going to have to blow into a whistle or something. We got to have a little bit better deal than that, that's for sure. All right, this Memphis Regional, this is like the group of death. This is great, man. UCLA and North Carolina, Butler, and, of course, the University of Kentucky will get it on in Memphis coming up here in Sweet 16. And joining us now to talk about the Kentucky aspect of this whole thing is Alex Risen from the ABC affiliate in Lexington. Alex, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Tom, doing great, brother. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you joining us. You know, there's a lot of comparisons made between Nick Saban and John Calipari, and one of which is that they were both, you know, were thought to be hired guns when they got to their current schools, and no one thought that Saban would be in, you know, do 10 years at Alabama, much less continue on. And I don't think anyone thought Calipari would go beyond, you know, 4 or 5 years at Kentucky necessarily, but now he signs a new 2-year extension that takes him through 2024. He's 8 years in now. Kind of getting a feeling that even though he's, 58 years old now, $8 million a year, that's saving money, that he's not going anywhere. This is his, it almost seems like this is his last job.
Yeah, you know, he said it for the past 2 years, and us local guys have really had to hear it because his name comes up even before the offseason with every NBA opening that comes up, Cal to the, you know, enter in the team name. It's been the buzz, and of course now there's plenty of former UK guys in the league. So maybe sometimes it, you know, has a little bit of mustard behind it. But this time, I think it kind of puts it to bed for anybody who thought he was going to take another shot at the league, that he's serious, he's got the best job in basketball, and he's paid like he has the best job in basketball. So $8 million a year, why would you leave? And if you also buy into what he says about players first and I'm changing lives and that's what I really want to do and I don't want to be back in the NBA because I'm not – changing lives. These guys are millionaires, and that's the whole point is me getting them there to get families out of poverty. And, you know, he really goes on the marketing shtick, and he does a good job at it pretty clearly. So I think it's it. Now, whether or not he stays here every single bit of that through 2024 remains to be seen, but he says it's like dog years coaching at Kentucky. One feels like seven, especially when he has a new team every season.
Well, and he's in his 10th Sweet 16 in the past 12 years. I mean, the guy has taken Kentucky to a number of Final Fours, got the one championship. I mean, Kentucky is like Alabama. You know, it's one of those deals where, you know, if you don't win a national championship, it almost feels like a lost season. And they got a heck of a ride here, but, you know, does that pressure build up? If they don't win one in the next year or two, do people start saying, well, you know, one national championship in 10 years, really? Is that what we're paying for?
Yeah, I mean, when you really think about some of the UK fans up here, man, they wanted his head after the NIT year. There was no room for error. It was the one-and-done system doesn't work, and this is coming off a national championship. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you kind of miss. You know, you have Ryan Harrow, Joyce Mays, a junior college transfer, and you just didn't get the pieces of the puzzle together that season. After Noah's Noel went down, Willie Cauley-Stein wasn't what he is currently, obviously, with the Kings. And so the pieces just did not fit together of that puzzle. And people said, hey, look, you can't go to the NIT. And not only did you go to the NIT, but you lost to Robert Morris on the road. If we don't do that at Kentucky, that's why we fired the guy before you, because he's losing to Gardner Webb at Rupp Arena. You know, you can't do these things when you're wearing the blue and white. So I think that was kind of quelled again when you have a couple teams make the Final Four, the team that went undefeated at 38-0. And then all of a sudden, you still get the talk of, well, if the team is that good and has that much talent, how did you lose to Wisconsin? So there's certainly the talk, and some of the fans that disagree with the strategy. They love their homegrown guys like Derek Willis and Dominic Hawkins that are on the team this year. You're not going to have that next season. There's sometimes a little bit of disconnect. You don't feel like it's, you know, you get to even know the guys. They're here for a few months and they're gone. And in Kentucky, I'm sure much like down in Alabama, it's similar. People are invested in the program, and they really do want to see some homegrown talent. They want to see the guys that are putting in the effort. And obviously Derek Willis and Dominic Hawkins are two guys that are, especially of late, starting to really show, hey, look, we can hang with any of these McDonald's All-Americans, even though we weren't. So I think that maybe some fans have a little bit of something to that. Whether or not, you know, he makes another Final Four run this season remains to be seen, but six of the 8 years that he's been there, Sweet 16, like you said too, sometimes that's not good enough. You want to hang national championship banners, and that's it, and I think he needs to get another one here in the next couple of years, because you're just going to hear the chatter even more of, well, it just doesn't work. Yeah, you're in the hunt, but at the end of the day, you know, the team still can't win the national championship. Final Fours are great, but they're not good enough.
Well, the thing is, and there's no, I don't think he's a huge fan. I think I've heard him talk about it in the past. I don't think he's a huge fan of the one and done system. It's just, if you're recruiting the best class every year, they're going to be those kind of guys. You can't do anything about it. So what do? You say, we don't want to take the number one, two, and three recruit in the country because they're going to be one and done. I mean, I don't know what the option is. I do agree, though, that it's hurt the game a lot, and both, not only at the college game, because I like to get to know the guys. I hate it that we don't even know who these guys are until February, and they're gone in March and April and and so on. But, you know, I think it's hurt the NBA game too, because I just see a lot of guys that aren't ready to play NBA basketball that are up there bumping around.
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of guys too that have gone on from Kentucky. I mean, Dakari Johnson, a lot of talk was around that. You know, last season, man, Kentucky would have really benefited from having Dakari Johnson back. Now, Dakari would say, hey, I also learned a lot, you know, playing some NBA D League ball, and I think the competition was better. But if you're a UK fan, you would say, yeah, but if you stayed another year, you could still improve with the class coming in, because that's the other thing we hear so much from Cal and the staff is, hey, look, there's a couple of times during the season when you play a UCLA, a North Carolina, Louisville, that you're going to be tested. But you're really going to get better each and every day in practice over the Joe Kraft Center, because you're going against another McDonald's All-American. You're going against somebody who's gunning for playing time. And that's what's really going to make you better. When Willie Cauley-Stein going up against Nerlens Noel, you know, Willie would say, hey, look, that year that I went up against Nerlens in practice did make me a better player. You know, the year that I went up against Carl Towns in practice made me a better player. So it's tough to go against, yeah, of course you want the best recruiting class. Do you want me to, you know, bring in kids that aren't of that caliber and just have them 4 years? Or would you rather have people who might be able to come together and make a run in March if everything kind of aligns? They're certainly playing better basketball of late, defensively especially. The offense has to kind of kick up another notch again. De'Aaron Fox has been great, though, too. So you need to see the pieces kind of come together again, though, against UCLA, because that 97-92 game back at Rupp Arena where Kentucky led, you can't have these times where you jump out on guys and then you just let them come back late.
Yeah, Alan Risen, our guest, talking some Kentucky basketball. That game had an NBA score to it, as do many games that involve UCLA. Is it too long ago, though, to draw anything, any comparisons between that game and what could happen in Memphis? Or is that a harbinger? Because it seems to be that Kentucky wants to play this game somehow in the 70s. If you can somehow hold down UCLA, they can win this basketball game. But if UCLA is going to score 98, you know, Kentucky's going to have a hard time winning that kind of game.
Yeah, when you look at the box score, if you're a Kentucky fan, you see a few things, though, that you need to see again. Bam Adebayo went for 18 points, 13 rebounds in the first round between these two teams. He's starting to kind of amass double-double after double-double. He's the first Kentucky Wildcat to have double-doubles in his first two NCAA tournament games. So that's pretty impressive all time. again, not that many freshmen used to play, so you could say, well, hey, look, but Carl Towns didn't have a double-double in his first two NCAA tournament games. Willie Cauley-Stein, same thing. So you need to see that type of effort and output from Adebayo. And then if you were looking at the first box score again, Malik Monk goes for 24 points, 10 of 19 shooting, 4 of 8 from 3. He's got a score, I think, for Kentucky to really compete with UCLA, because if he has another off night like that, just his defense isn't going to be enough. De'Aaron Fox had a good game, 20 points, 9 assists. You need to see that again from De'Aaron Fox, and he's starting to develop kind of that mid-range jumper. And then you got something from Derek Willis. You know, he had 11 points and a couple of rebounds against the Bruins the first time. He's playing well. He's coming off a 9.8 rebound performance against Wichita State. Obviously, he's in that starting role instead of coming off the bench probably, but you need to get some sort of production from some of those bench guys. Dominic Hawkins, another one. So it'll box score-wise, you need to kind of see what you saw against UCLA the first time if you're Kentucky, but you need to play some better defense.
A lot is being made about John Calipari returning to Memphis, and, you know, he was the beloved there, and now he's hated there, you know, based on all of those types of things. But is that overplayed a little bit only because, look, you know, I did 6 years in Nashville, and I know what the blue mist looks like when they descend upon the town. I mean, that's going to, like, be Lexington South, isn't it? I mean, and not just Lexington. I mean, it's just all those Kentucky fans. It's such an easy run. I don't care if they hate him to death in Memphis. There's not going to be very many Memphis folks rolling around that arena. It's going to be all Kentucky, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be blue. The talk up here in Lexington is it's going to be blue. You mentioned Nashville. The SEC tournament is always, you know, an even better atmosphere than Rupp Arena because of who you're getting that travels and the type of fan that goes on the road. It just makes it for a better atmosphere if you're Kentucky. The guys feel it. You know, Derek Willis said, hey, look, I don't care where we play, you know, because we're not playing a neutral site game. You know, NCAA tournament games are supposed to be neutral site games, but it's not going to be that way, and we know that. I know that UK fans have my back, and with that type of support, we feed off of it. It certainly makes us play better. Now they can obviously still lose games. I mean, they lost to Wisconsin up in Indianapolis, you know, which was even a shorter trip, and it was plenty of blue in there. So it's one of those things where you still got to have the guys. You know, the fans can't make any buckets. They can't play good defense. But if you are UK, I think, again, the guys can feed off of that type of energy if it's a nice crowd.
Well, you know, and it'll be one of the rare instances where the character surrounding a game, John Calipari, probably is not the biggest ego in the room. That's got to go to Lonzo Ball's daddy, right? I mean, you know, he's made so much noise and has made such an ass out of himself that, you know, Cal's going to look like a choir boy going in there.
You know, last night, the big thing up here again was, you know, LeVar Ball, and did he or did he not say, you know, something on a radio show out west? And as it turns out, nobody could find the audio from that, and it started from a Twitter egg that he said, you know, Kentucky's just a tune-up game for the Final Four. So then he really did say something today, so it kind of sparked it back up again, where he said, hey, you know, Lonzo Ball and the chemistry that, you know, UCLA has is just better than us. You know, he says another guy could drop 40, but if Lonzo goes for two, he's hitting the game winner, and he can really just kind of change the game. So shot fired again from LeVar Ball. You know, he is certainly one of the guys that, you know, may or may not have said a couple of things, but he does say a lot of stuff. So you can see where some of the internet and web stuff and the blogs kind of feed off of something and kind of jump on anything. But, yeah, I think there's going to be plenty of cameras on LeVar Ball, that's for sure. I'm sure there will be a couple on Cal, though, in his reaction well.
Yeah, that's just nuts. They put that kind of pressure on his kid. And a lot of people think, well, you know, Steve Alford, why would you leave UCLA? I mean, you got this ball, you got the next ball, and then you got the third ball coming later. That might be the reason to leave, because you're going to have the old man ball there for the next couple of years with you as well. I mean, you know, as a coach, you know, he probably just assumed. That's one thing that Cal seems to do really well, is he deflects all of the attention really on himself, you know, in terms of, yeah, he takes all of it one way or the other, good and bad and so on. And I think he really does kind of protect his players that way.
Yes, he certainly protects his guys. He always, you know, it's players first. That's our mentality, and we've done it for so long that it speaks for itself, and that's why guys come. You know, there's plenty of talk. I mean, I can't believe Kentucky hired a guy that, you know, was, you know, basically caught cheating the last two places he's been, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, he was free of those things, according to the NCAA. So, you know, the sanctions and things have not, you know, fallen upon Kentucky. The compliance people who a fantastic job. And I don't think there is anything, you know, that Cal has to do, because he goes, hey, look, I don't have to, you know, to pay for players or any of this other stuff, or, you know, offer you anything, because I'm telling you my system works. And just look at the NBA rosters that proves it. So it's certainly something that he's developed, and it's just a mentality of, I'm going to take the blame when I need to take the blame. You know, he's also said before at a coach's clinic, you know, I know that I should probably put in Tyler Ulis at the end of the Wisconsin game in the Final Four, but I left in my Harrison guys because they are loyal. And sometimes maybe he's loyal to the fault, but he took the blame for that. And he said, because how would that have looked if I had taken out the Harrison twins to put in, you know, two freshmen, Tyler Ulis and Devin Booker at the time? How would that have looked if I took those two guys out? It would have looked bad on them. It could potentially have hurt them moving forward, that I didn't trust them enough. So he certainly puts himself out there on the line for his guys, and I think they respect him for it.
Is in a weird way, Alex Risen with us talking Kentucky basketball, in a weird way, is there almost more pressure to win this UCLA game than there is even maybe to go to the Final Four? I mean, it's one thing if you lose to North Carolina in the Elite Eight, they were the one seed, so on. But if you get beat by UCLA, you're getting beat by the three seed, and you're getting beat by a team that beat you before. You're getting beat twice by Steve Alford and UCLA. It almost feels like this game is more pressure-packed, and then it's house money after that in a way.
Well, I mean, like you mentioned before, the house money, unfortunately, for Kentucky fans.
Yeah, win a championship.
They do want a national championship.
Right.
But, yeah, you want to beat the team that you played before. I still think that UK fans, if they get North Carolina, though, in the Elite Eight and they're able to beat UCLA, I think Kentucky fans want to see them beat North Carolina because, hey, you guys did it before. Yeah, I know Malik Monk dropped 47 points to make it happen, but if you can beat them once, you can beat them again, one seed or not. You know, Kentucky fans always think their team should be a one seed, no matter really how they perform. And the SEC certainly has started to perform maybe better than people had imagined. You know, Florida, South Carolina also in the Sweet 16. So you get three of your teams in. Who knows if Vandy wouldn't have done what Vandy did at the end of the Northwestern game, maybe Vanderbilt had a chance to be in the Sweet 16. And then if you're an SEC fan, you're looking at Arkansas, North Carolina saying, hey, Arkansas had that. So I think maybe Kentucky has played some better competition in hindsight than people originally had thought. I think that kind of fuels – the UK fans a little bit more too, saying, hey, look, you know, the SEC wasn't as bad as we saw. You guys can you can do this. You can beat UCLA. You can beat North Carolina. You can make a run of the national championship. And, you know, there's nobody really that's any better. You know, it's everybody's almost playing with house money because there's a lot of parity. I think Cal has mentioned that too before the NCAA tournament started. He said maybe you usually have three or five teams that even have a shot at it. He said this year you have more like 10 or 12. And then he said, usually you have 10 or 12 that might be able to make something happen in March. So I think you've got 20 that can make something happen this time around. So there's just more teams that have a chance at taking home a big trophy at the end of the year.
Alex, excellent work, man. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate you joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting again down the road.
Anytime, Tom.
All right, there you go. A little bit of tournament talk as we get ready for things to pick back up tomorrow. We remind you that tomorrow and Friday, we will be on the air tomorrow and Friday, but we will be out at 5 those 2 days. By the way, speaking of brackets, another bracket deal going on this weekend, and that is the Match Play Championship, the WGC Match Play Championship on the PGA Tour. And Jason Day today emotionally withdrew from the event, announcing that his mother has lung cancer, and she's been given 12 months to live. She's having her cancer surgery on Friday, so he withdrew from the match play tournament to go be with her mother, and that's obviously understood. And he was very, very, he broke down at the press conference. It was very emotional in all of that as well as they got started with the match play championship today. He literally walked off the course against Pat Perez today when he found out that his mother was having this the cancer, you know, going to have the cancer surgery on Friday. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Cecil Hurt will join us from the Tuscaloosa News, and we'll talk Alabama spring practice number one with him next right here on 730-1039.
Yep. WUMP Sports Radio, The Op.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, your small business source in Alabama. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. The Crimson Tide's trio of freshman arms in Deacon Metters, Garrett Rooks, and Davis Fainter combined to limit the opposition to only one unearned run as Alabama defeated UAB 4-1 at Regions Field Tuesday evening in Birmingham. The victory moved the Tide to 11-10 overall, heading into this weekend series in SEC play at South Carolina. In his first career start, Metters tossed four innings of scoreless ball, allowing three hits and two walks, striking out three batters across 53 pitches of work. Garrett Rooks worked 3 1/3 scoreless frames of relief to earn his second win of the season, and Vayner notched his third save of the year with an inning and 2/3 of action. Gene Wood led the Tide at the plate with a 3-for-3 night, and Connor Short had a home run as well. I'll have more in a moment.
Looking to start a new business or interested in expanding your small business? We're here to help. Visit AtlasAlabama.gov today for free tools and resources to get you started. AtlasAlabama.gov. Chart your course to small business success. Brought to you by the Alabama Small Business Commission. In 2011, 5,552 Alabama jobs were created by small businesses. Small business is big business in Alabama. Visit AtlasAlabama.gov to learn more about Alabama Small Business Commission and access resources for starting your own. AtlasAlabama.gov. We're here to help.
Coach Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide held its first practice of the spring yesterday. The Alabama golf team finished 5th at the Linger Longer Invitational. And today in Indianapolis, the Alabama men's swimming and diving teams will open competition at the NCAA Championships. That's your Bama Update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Great show. Wednesday morning, Barrett Salee joined us to talk opening spring practice for Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee. Laura Rutledge talked minor league baseball with us. Dr. Brett McCabe discussed why Tennessee's players seem to have a trickle-down effect from their head coach in spewing things to the media. Tomorrow morning, we've got Vegas runner Lance Taylor joining the show 6 to 10 a.m. right here on Ump Sports. And if you missed any interviews, you can go to umpsports.com and check out the podcast there.
Have a job to do but don't have the tools to do it? Then call Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville today. Valley Equipment Rental has everything you need to get the job done fast. Mowers, tillers, pressure washers, floor sanders, trenchers, and much, much more await you at Valley Equipment Rental. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just a do-it-yourselfer, Valley Equipment Rental is here for you. Call today, 256-964-6081. Get rolling with Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental.
Good time. With your family last a lifetime with the help of Madison RV Supercenter. Are you ready to hit the open road in your own RV, fifth wheel, or travel trailer? Or do you need a toy hauler? With hundreds to choose from and a huge variety of brands and price ranges, Madison RV Supercenter has what you need. Madison RV Supercenter has the best, most experienced sales and service team in Alabama and are ready to meet your RV needs better than anyone. Visit us today and experience the difference Madison RV Supercenter can make.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Cart is back and on sale April 3rd. This year's Tennessee Valley Golf Cart features a round of golf, including cart at 7 area courses, including Cherokee Ridge, Cypress Lakes, Quail Creek, and Point Mallard. Play any day of the week. No restrictions, no blackouts. A $288 value for just $129. And enjoy golf at Blackberry Trail, Eagle's Nest, and Redstone Links. This April 3rd, log on to umpsports.com.
We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Weather is sponsored by JCPenney. Hurry into JCPenney Salon now through Wednesday. Your favorite hair care brands like Redken and Paul Mitchell are buy two, get one for a penny with select products for just $9.99. Get up to $50 off on pro styling tools. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney's.
Mostly fair and cool tonight, the overnight low 43. Tomorrow and Friday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine both days. The high tomorrow is 67, the high Friday 72. Saturday, mild and breezy with thunderstorms moving in. The storms could be strong. The high Saturday at 74 degrees. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
Now welcome back. Tom Abraham Show. Nick Saban got loose yesterday.
Do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some and throw it on the wall and see what sticks?
Yeah, that's what we do. What we do? We throw spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks. Isn't that the way we do it? I thought that's how you were supposed to. Wasn't that what we learned in journalism school? I think that's what we learned. I'm not sure. All right, joining us now, a guy who doesn't just throw stuff on the wall and see what sticks. I don't think he does he? From the Tuscaloosa News, Cecil Hurd is with us. Cecil, welcome in. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Do you just throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks or what? What do you think?
I certainly don't throw what Nick was talking about.
Wasn't it? Doesn't he?
Spaghetti,
he
I might do. See if it's
yeah, fine. Spaghetti. We throw the spaghetti on the wall. That's how my grandma used to say how you can tell if it's ready. You throw it against the wall, throw a strand on the wall, and if it sticks, it's ready. Isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you've been doing this long enough now. It's almost comical that he'll use a moment, whether it's a moment to talk about a book that he wants to write someday, or whether it's a moment he wants to get on some soapbox. He'll use some other moment that has nothing to do with anything else, and he'll use that to go off. And it's almost laugh out. I mean, you sit there, you almost got to not laugh, because you know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, he's got something he wants to say, and he's going to say it, and he's going to say it. He's going to do it in that setting, and somebody's going to ask a question, and the answer has nothing to do with the question. You know, it's completely unrelated.
Yeah, well, it's completely, and then probably a legitimate question in terms of, you know, because the assumption being that, you know, there was a disconnect with what they wanted to do offensively.
The question was fine, and other than, you know, not wanting to talk about the Clemson game, Nick would tell you it was fine.
Yeah.
You know. But that was his moment, and that's the way he does things.
Yeah. And you know, he never wants to talk about a depth chart, and he doesn't want to talk about the battles and replacing guys. And, you know, you get the sense. I mean, that is this whole process that we've all lived with for 10 or 11 years now, that it's everything starts fresh. It's like he doesn't even care who the other guys were, and now he's like, these guys are the guys. They're going to build themselves as a unit, and we'll see how they do as they build this team. It's not like you're replacing you who replaced you before you, you know?
Right. Right. And I will say this, on a depth chart or the first day of spring training, I agree with him. You don't know. You're not, you know, that's not what the first day of spring football's for.
Yeah. Well, except for a quarterback, which was good to hear, you know, that this is not going to be like, yeah, he did deal with that.
Perfectly good answer to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and there will be a quarterback competition, but it's going to be for the number two job. You know, it's pretty clear that he's got himself a starting quarterback. Your impression of Tua, because the one thing I thought when I saw him out there with the other guys in the photos and stuff that I saw, is he's not as big a guy as I thought. I thought he was as big as Jalen Hurts. He's really not. He's not a real big guy.
He probably weighs more. He's thicker.
Yeah.
You know, but he's no taller.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, you know, that kind of a guy. All right. Running back wise, I mean, there's just so many running backs here. I mean, how do you see this job unfolding in terms of, you know, everybody thinks about Bo Scarborough because of the way he finished the season, but he also had the broken leg, and we forget that Damian Harris was the leading rusher, and Josh Jacobs came on last year, and then they got, you know, a five-star stud coming in this year like they do every year. But how did he get all this done?
Well, you know, first of all, we'll see what the health situation is on Bo and B.J. Emmons. And then, you know, see how the good thing about running backs is not like quarterback. You can play three in a game if you want to play three in a game. They did that. They've done that when Trent was here, you know, with Trent, Eddie Lacy, Derek, they could rotate it that way. So they can do that if they want to. I'm not going to predict a pecking order until I see – Najee Harris and some contact, because the other guys are pretty good.
Yeah. Offensive line, certainly they're moving some parts around and looking for some guys to emerge, and I would suspect that this is a time where you know, they're going to try a lot of different combinations probably and see what works best for them.
Yeah, they got two that are set. You know, Jonah Williams is going to – they got two all-SEC guys, Williams and Bozeman, at center. And you shuffle some guys around, do some things around that, and that's what you can do. So I think that's probably about as good as you can be. I'd imagine that most SEC schools, if they had two all-SEC guys returning, that'd be good enough for them to plug some other guys. And they've recruited them, though. It's not like there's no other players. There's plenty of guys. It's just finding out who fits best where.
Yeah. Is Jonathan Williams going over to left tackle? Or is he staying?
Jonah, yeah, he'll go over.
Jonah Williams. I mean, Jonah Williams will go. Yeah, he's going over to left tackle, and that makes some sense, obviously. There, D line wise too. It almost gets redundant. There's certainly big names that have left, but there have been big names leaving the past, and other guys step up, and they do seem to have a number of guys that have played a decent number of snaps. Deshaun Hand has played, and Deron Payne, I think, could be a beast this upcoming year, and they need to work some other guys in.
Yeah, you know, Bugs, the junior college guy. You know, the one thing they don't have quite as much of, certainly as they had last year, are reserves and younger guys who really played a lot. Josh Frazier's played some. You know, there are some other guys that have played some. But, you know, Jonathan Allen is a backup. He played a lot. Tim Williams is a backup. He played a lot. You know, so they're ready to step up. You know, last year the starters didn't come off as much, or the first rotation didn't come out quite as much. So a lot of talent, you know, a lot of guys that they're looking to see how they'll develop, down linemen and linebackers, but not quite as much experience coming back.
Minkah Fitzpatrick is a guy that's played all over the defensive backfield. I guess he was working with cornerbacks. He can play safety as well. He's played the star position. Where do you think he settles in? I mean, would they prefer to have him at a corner, or is he a guy that's going to ultimately be a safety?
They'd like to have two corners step up and let Minkah play either safety or star. Mm-hmm. But if not, it's a great fallback position to have Minkah to put in there. You know, they'd probably like to see a couple of other guys. You know, Averett would be one of them, be the corners, but – you know, Minkah can certainly play that way and you don't lose anything. Just a unique guy, All-American player, and can play any of the spots, can play star, can play safety. And would rather have him back there, but if nobody is good enough, then they just put him back at corner.
How much, I mean, do you think that as much of this spring is about the different player development and toying around and tinkering around with guys, that it's a lot about the coaching staff as well? I mean, so many new guys on the staff and different positions and new bodies that are in town and so on. Is it, you know, is it as much about them as it is about the players?
Well, they're new in terms of they weren't on the field coaching last year, but they're not new to Nick Saban. Not even Brian Daboll, and certainly not Mike Loxley, who is an analyst, and certainly not Joe Panunzio, who's been with Nick for years. So I think they're from the system. You know, they're system guys. They're not bringing new philosophies in. Maybe a little bit as offensive coordinator, but they're not there to bring in their own ideas. They're there to implement what Nick wants to do.
Yeah. And I would think that one of the key things from a development standpoint, I mean, Jalen Hurts, the one part of his game that was sketchy was that, you know, was the accuracy, especially downfield accuracy. And, you know, is that something that the ball is basically the one that's going to be most responsible for developing and working on that aspect of his game from a technique standpoint? That is good.
Yeah, he'll be the quarterback coach, and that's something they'll work on. And that Jalen's worked on a lot 7-on-7. So they'll be, you know, that is where he needs to improve, and that's what they'll have been working on and will continue to work. Probably work on it as much in 7-on-7 and in the summer as you do during these drills where you've got a full team. And it's not all just about quarterback mechanics.
You know, he did a lot of running last year. Obviously, some of the biggest plays that were made by his feet. Will they make a concerted effort to protect him a little bit more this year, being that you don't have the veteran backups that they'll have? I mean, they're going to have two young, true freshmen behind him for the most part. Do you think that will go into the mindset at all, even though he's a very sturdy kid and knows how to take care of himself? But do you think they'll try and protect him and not put him in called running situations as much?
I don't know. It's a fair question, but, you know, he made it through last year, and you know, it's not like they're running an option. You know, it's not like they're running plays where the defense just can set up and they're going to get a shot at him. And he runs when it's there for him to run. And they certainly call a few, but a lot of the runs that he had were out of pass formation too. So, you know, they don't want him taking a beating, and they got plenty of running backs that can you know, carry the load for him. But, you know, they will absolutely do enough of it where people have to worry about it in their defensive meetings during preparation.
All right, finally, if you're talking to the readers and the listeners out there, and there's one or two things that they really ought to kind of keep an eye on throughout this spring and as we roll towards the spring game, which is when everybody kind of gets to see it, you know, what would be those things that you think are the most that they should be focusing on this deal?
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to watch the quarterbacks. That's always good. And then the defensive front seven, which is what they're always built around, and see how some of those younger guys develop. But you know, that's what's great about spring. You can pick one thing one day and one thing the next day. And, you know, it's not the end of the world if it doesn't look great in a day. You still got August to go.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Appreciate you as always, Cecil.
Sure, Tom. Glad to do it.
All right, thank you. Cecil Hurt, weighing in on the A-Day stuff. Yeah, well, you know, yesterday we talked about spring ball and the value of spring ball, and, you know, he hit right on, you know, some of the things that go all the way back to Pop Warner, you know, the ability to do stuff without worrying about having to play a game this week. You know, I mean, that's the thing, you know, the ability to tinker and toy with it and so on. And then, of course, you know, later on with Bear Bryant and his comments about, I want to see him quit in practice, I don't want to see him quit in a game, you know, they got 4 months to get ready for the first game. So, you know, that's when you're going to be a little rougher on them. Yeah, I understand that. I get that. All right. We're going to bring it in. When we come back, we got open lines now the rest of the way, especially the next two segments are the ones that you guys generally get in and jump in with a lot of your input on the show. We've been talking in between the interviews. We've been talking about, you know, the whole thing with this Mexican media exec who was nabbed snagging Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey. And, you know, it's nuts. I mean, I've read through the stories of the investigation, and, yeah, it's really kind of fascinating with the FBI being involved and how all the investigators worked on this. And you just wonder how much money was spent on this whole thing. Having said that, it does lead me to this question. What would be the number one piece of sports memorabilia that you would personally like to have? Not something that you have, that you would like to have. I posted that question as the Facebook fan page, at the Facebook fan page today at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show. A lot of you have answered that. I have been reading those. Also, you can text in some of the items that you just, if there's something that you can have. I identified Derek Jeter's jersey from the Mr. October home run. I don't know why that jumped into my head. Reggie Jackson's last home run ball that he hit when he hit the three home runs that night in game six of the 1977 World Series. You know, something along those lines. That things like that, you know, that, or maybe it's something that's more random. At one point in time, I was thinking about it when I was thinking about this thing. I was thinking about Dale Earnhardt's fire suit from when he died. And then I thought, that's just so morbid. I don't think I really want that. You know, his goggles or his helmet. Where is that stuff? Where is the fire suit that they cut off of Dale? Does Junior have that? Where's the helmet he had on that he wore, the open-faced helmet, and his goggles and his shoes? Did that stuff just get all, you know, does anybody think of anything like that when that stuff is at the hospital? Do they gather up those personal effects and you give them to Junior and they're sitting in a box somewhere? Or Teresa have it? You think that, you know, I know that's kind of morbid. We know about how when a home run ball, it's an important ball, whatnot gets hit and, you know, it gets ushered off to the Hall of Fame or, you know. Where's the ball that Malcolm Butler intercepted a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl? You know, where is that thing? Or maybe it's not something real random. You know, people have been saying Hank Aaron's jersey from when he hit 715. That ugly Braves uniform that they used to wear, the pajamas Braves uniform that they used to wear back in the day. I think it was terrible. So if you want to weigh in on that, you can weigh in on that as well. Plus, we have enough mock drafts now in front of us. You almost have a mock draft of the day Mel Kiper has put his 3.0 version out. Is there a 3.1 or a 3.6 or a 3.? Why do they always do that? Todd McShay's 3.0. Pete Prisco with his 2.0. Mel Kiper with his 3.0. Is there like a 3.5? Is there like a half of a mock that they put out? Tom Abraham's 3.3 version is up next. He'll give you the top 10 picks. I don't know. Anyway, Kiper's got 11 SEC players in the first round. Run that down for you as well. Phone lines are open. Save my voice. I'm on some stuff, all right? So I'm a little loopy right now. I get it. You know what I mean? I'm a little loopy. The lines are open. 866-485-9867. We'll get you into the show. Back with more after this. 730-1039
The Ump. 730 and 1039 The Ump. More sports.
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by the new Disruptor work shoe from Timberland Pro. Visit your local retailer to get a pair. It's amazing how polarizing Colin Kaepernick has become in a relatively short amount of time. 4 years ago, he was on top of the world. Now there are conspiracy theories that insist that he's being blackballed because of his anthem protest and poor play. I don't buy it. Yes, there are a handful of owners who have a negative opinion because he chose not to stand during the playing of the national anthem last season, and the 49ers were a putrid 1-10 with Kaep as their starter. However, their roster was horrible and full of holes, and to his credit, his TD to interception ratio was a robust 16-4, not to mention rushing for almost 500 yards. Colin Kaepernick is on the street right now because he's a 29-year-old vet with the narrative already written about him, and there are other options. Trust me, when any of these teams don't find what they actually need, Kaep will get a call. That's just how it works in the National Football League. I'm Tiki Barber. CBS Sports
Radio. The wrong boot will make your work suffer. Take Yeti. That's his forklift with the front wheels hanging just over the edge of the loading dock. And that is a big bead of sweat dripping down Eddie's face because he's pretty sure if he moves, this whole thing is going to go further south. Sure will be interesting when everybody gets back from lunch. When your feet hurt, your work suffers. So get the Timberland Pro Disruptor Work Shoe. Anti-fatigue technology and a 30-day comfort guarantee. Timberland Pro. Visit your local Timberland Pro retailer to get a pair.
Clean away dirt and grime and bring out your vehicle shine with super savings on O'Reilly Car Wash. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up a gallon bottle of O'Reilly Car Wash for $3.99. Clean, shine, and protect your vehicle with O'Reilly Car Wash on sale for $3.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Home.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motor home.
Spring is here, and Bankston has the best selection of 2017 RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
New 2017s are arriving daily, like the Brookstone 395 RL fifth wheel. This hot new floor plan sleeps nine with a second bedroom and overhead loft. The Brookstone also has a six-point electric leveling system to make setup fast and easy. You'll feel right at home with theater seating, a fireplace, plus a residential size shower.
The only way to go.
Spring is here, and so are the new 2017 travel trailers, truck campers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Learn more about the gorgeous new Brookstone 395 RL fifth wheel online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Five locations are online at BanksonMotorhomes.com.
March Madness is a time when the best of the best come out to play. Experience that same level of performance with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan. Visit Smith Infiniti of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, title license and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 3/31/17. Infiniti is an official partner of NCAA Men's Basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infiniti, empower the drive.
Every day, 70,000 puppies or kittens are born in the U.S. Cute, right? What's not cute is that half of all litters are accidents, which leads to millions killed in shelters each year. Turns out, those little cuties can get pregnant sooner than you think. But here's the good news. You can stop the accident before it happens. When you bring home a pet, get them fixed at 4 months old. Prevent more. Fix at month four. Visit fixat4.com for more information. Brought to you by Best Friends Animal Society.
We're all part of your community.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Hey, it's our dime. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
This show is brought to you by Bankston Motorhomes with the largest selection of RVs in the Southeast. It's Bankston Motorhomes. Talking about fifth wheels, travel trailers, truck campers, all three classes of motorhomes. They've got them there. Doesn't matter new or used, they got the largest selection anywhere. Nearly 200 pre-owned units in stock right now, plus all of the brand new 2017s. And Bankston Motorhomes is a factory authorized service center. For so many top brands, I can't even mention them all on air. All right, I'll give you a few. Tiffin, Thor, Forest River, Little Guy, Winnebago, Keystone, Gulfstream, Road Trek, and many, many more. Check out the website, BankstonMotorHomes.com. That's BankstonMotorHomes with an S, .com. See for yourself why so many RV owners have chosen to join the Bankston Motorhome family. Five locations in Alabama and Tennessee. Of course, in Huntsville, right there on Jordan Lane, Elbertville, Alabama, Florence, Alabama, Ardmore, Tennessee, which is almost Alabama, and in Nashville, Tennessee. That website is updated every night, so you can see the new units coming and going as well, pre-owned units coming and going. And they've got pictures, and a lot of pictures. It's not like they just show you like one picture of a unit. They show you a lot of pictures of a unit. When you go in there and you check that out. We've been asking the question, what piece of memorabilia would you want if you could have just one thing? Of course, some people said, I want the ball that Chris Davis scored to kick six with, or the jersey that Chris Davis wore when he scored his kick six. Well, Corey in Huntsville said, I want that white piece of grass that Chris Davis did step on. Yeah, I don't think he was out of bounds.
Come on.
I think he was on his toe. I think he was out of bounds. I think if the heel went down, he might have been out of bounds, but I don't think he was out of bounds. I've looked at that thing 1,000 times. I don't think he was out of bounds. And it's one of those things where if he was out of bounds, that would have been such a monumental break. You know, that would have been all based on a call, basically. It would have just been based on a call. You know, to me, you got to look at, it was a bad decision. It's just a bad decision.
When I watched that, I was in such shock, but I didn't start celebrating or anything. I mean, I'm not an Auburn fan or anything, but I didn't celebrate or think Auburn had won the game because I thought that they were at least going to take a look at it because I thought it was close as well. But then I see AJ go to the tunnel and get to kiss his mom and I was like, wow, they actually aren't going to look at that. So I was pretty shocked that they at least didn't look, but no, he was not out of bounds.
There's nothing you could do.
Right, that's true.
I mean, you know, at that point in time, what could you have possibly done? You know, I mean, that would have been the big issue there. So what are you going to, you know, how would you have gotten those people off the field?
Yeah, that's a big question right there because everybody flooded as soon as that happened.
Would have been impossible to get him off of there.
Yeah.
It was a stunning finish. I mean, there was no question about that being an absolutely stunning finish. I still don't know if it was the most stunning finish. Well, no, it was probably the most stunning finish.
It ranks
a lot of stunning finishes, but that's probably the most stunning finish of anything I've ever seen. That I would have to say that was the most stunning finish. You know, the call at the end of the Super Bowl.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history.
That was a really That was stunning because of the nature of the call that was made.
The best call, or I thought it was the most stunning finish, mainly. A lot of stuff went into it for me, but it was, you know, the rivalry, the matchup, the ranking of both teams, what was on the line, the SEC championship, and eventually the national championship. I thought it all boiled down to that. But also, I love the fact that it happened because, you know, I am an Oklahoma fan, and before then, all I heard about as far as most recent amazing finishes was the Fiesta Bowl. So, and this that this kick six took just about all that away for the longest time. So I am so grateful that that happened. Sorry, Bama fans.
Now, as far as a call goes, as far as a radio call goes, I'm still my all-time favorite.
Please.
I'm going to tell you right now, can't touch it.
Back third down on the eight, in trouble. Got a block behind him, going to throw on a run, complete to the 25, to the 30. Lindsey's got 35, 40. Lindsey's got 45, 50, 45, 40. Run, Lindsey, 25, 20, 50, 10, 5. Lindsey's got, Lindsey's got, Lindsey's got. Well, I can't believe it. 92 yards, and Lindsey really got in a foot race. I broke my chair. I came right through a chair, a metal steel chair with about a 5-inch cushion. I broke it. The booth came apart. The stadium fell down. Now they do have to renovate this thing. They'll have to rebuild it now. This is incredible. You know, this game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight? And up at St. Simon's and Jekyll Island and all those places where all those dog people have got these condominiums for 4 days. Man, is there going to be some property destroyed tonight. 26-21. Dogs on top. We were gone. I gave up. You did too. We were out of it and gone. Miracle.
Now, I know that's way before your time, but tell me you know who that is and you know what that is.
Well, I know the game. Obviously, but what makes that call so great, just to comment on that, was everything he did after the run.
Well, because that was the nature of Larry Munson. Yeah. That was what Larry Munson would did. That's the way he called a game. It was never fourth down and short. It was fourth and 4 inches. It wasn't that, you know, he got the first down, he got the first down over the left side. It's that, you know, he got the first down by the nose of the football, by the stripe of the football, you know, things like that. You know, Larry Munson was the most descriptive guy. So it was, I broke my chair. I came through my chair. It was a steel chair with a 4-inch cushion. You know what I mean? That was the way Larry Munson called a game. But, you know, you went to school for broadcasting, right? I mean, wasn't that your major when you went to college at UNA? Weren't you a broadcasting journalism major?
Radio and television broadcasting, yes, sir.
Radio and television broadcasting. To me, to have not, there should be like a course about that kind of stuff right there. I mean, that's 1980 cocktail party. All right, that's Lindsey Scott from Buck Blue, who's been on the show a number of times. He doesn't even say that he scored. It's just Lindsey Scott, Lindsey Scott, Lindsey Scott. He never tells us he scored or not. The greatest homer of all time. And I'm telling you, man. Gotta play that stuff for guys. Broadcasting school.
It would have made school a lot more interesting, I'll tell you that much.
No, baby. Charles in Decatur says, I'd like the football from the Music City Miracle, too. I'd like to use it for target practice, then urinate on it, and then send pieces to the referees that missed the forward lateral. I think he's a Bills fan.
You might
Fabulous
be.
Five, yeah, I think so. Fabulous 5 o'clock hour is next right here at 730-1039. Yeah.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Op. WUMP.
I'm Kevin Kugler with an NCAA tournament game spotlight. Friday in Memphis, two of the most storied programs in history meet as the second-seeded Kentucky Wildcats meet the 3-seed UCLA. The other game from the South region will match the number 1-seed North Carolina against Butler, the 4-seed. Friday also will have action from the East region in New York City. you can hear Westwood One's exclusive coverage of every game of the NCAA tournament right here.
State Farm knows that life is like college basketball. Having the right combination can make all the difference. Cinderella stories in college basketball? Good combination. Cinderella stories and college parties.
Once upon a time, there was this princess!
What did you say?
A princess!
Bad combination. At State Farm, we know the power of a good combination. Talk to an agent for help combining your home and auto into a plan that's right for you. State Farm, here to help life go right.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Cart is back and on sale April 3rd. This year's Tennessee Valley Golf Cart features a round of golf, including cart at seven area courses, including Cherokee Ridge, Cypress Lakes, Quail Creek, and Point Mallard. Play any day of the week. No restrictions, no blackouts. A $288 value for just $129. And enjoy golf at Blackberry Trail, Eagle's Nest, and Redstone Links. This April 3rd, log on to umpsports.com.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. A healthy birth is the dream of every parent. But for hundreds of thousands of families with a baby born too soon, the reality is their baby's first home is the newborn intensive care unit. It's the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. This is a crisis that knows no boundaries. 15 million babies are born prematurely worldwide. Nearly 1 million will die before their first birthday. Do something today. Help the March of Dimes provide education and support to families and fund life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. For the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word. Because sarcoma is cancer. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America is bringing hope to the families whose lives have been turned upside down by a cancer they had never heard of until diagnosis. Please join us in the fight to find the cure for sarcoma. For more information on the work of the Sarcoma Foundation of America, go to curesarcoma.org.
He has an overbite that makes him look like a cartoon character, a slightly crooked eye, and an uncommonly wrinkly neck. In the right light, he can look a little like a garden gnome, and he'll wear a bow tie just because. Sure, you might call him a little quirky, but that's exactly what makes him so perfect. Tuna is a 3-year-old Chihuahua Dachshund mix with more than 700,000 followers on Instagram, and it all started because he was adopted. You can't buy a best friend like Tuna, but you can adopt one. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
Your 2017 Atlanta Braves are ready to start a new chapter in their storied history, and we're bringing you every huge pitch from the start of this landmark season. Monday, April 3rd, the 2017 season opens in New York as the Braves take on the Mets. Then on Friday, April 14th, it's time to welcome Braves baseball home as the Braves take on the Padres in their first home game at SunTrust Park. Don't miss a minute of this historic Braves season right here on the Atlanta Braves Radio.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do this.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Ump. WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus.